Hallelujah. I'm so thankful to God for what He's doing. I'm so excited for this year. I'm so intimidated by this year. Y'all know me. I'm going to tell you the truth. I ain't going to sit here and just try to act like I'm just all holy and I got this. Because when God gives me supernatural words like that, I know I'm totally dependent on Him and it's nothing that I can do within myself. So therefore, I'm nervous because I'm like, God, I like to be able to say, okay, you know, if something goes wrong, I got this. But when you just give it to God, He's like, I'm a God of perfection. What's going to go wrong when you turn it over to me and let me do what I said I would do? So then I stand in repentance. God, forgive me for my lack of faith. Because You will do what You said. You will complete what You began. You will fulfill all that You said. And this year, this open heaven, He will fulfill that. Are you telling me that signs and wonders and miracles and the voice of God, the thunder from heaven, Lord, angels up and down, all that? Yeah, absolutely. But there is things that we have to do. And I mentioned that last week. And I'm going to talk today about 2024, the year of open heavens, because that word excites every one of you, but half of you don't really understand. Not no disrespect. You just haven't studied it. You're like, I heard it. I read it in day one of 30 for 30. Anybody read that on 30 for 30? You caught that? It said open heavens. That, yeah. And the thing is God said, Doug, they know it, but they don't understand it. They don't know what's about to happen. They need to be expectant. You can't believe in something that you don't quite understand. So God said, teach them what it is so they can be prepared and be expectant and understand what I'm about to do. If you haven't yet, if you missed last week, we're doing 30 for 30. 30 intentional minutes each day of our lives. 10 minutes in worship, 10 minutes in the Word, 10 minutes in prayer. If you timed it, it really takes about 15 to 18 minutes in the Word. So if you need to cut it down to 2 worship songs, you do that. But if you're really trying to go after God, don't worry about the time. Miss Patsy said one day she said, I started doing my 30 for 30, and 3 hours later I was done. I was like, come on, that's a woman at the God's heart. Now, all of you don't have that. Some of y'all, hey, like last night, I didn't get to do my reading time until 11:30 last night because I was studying for my message. And I was like, well, I felt like I got enough of my message prepared. I'm going to stop right now and I'm going to do my 30 for 30. Because if all I do is read my Bible when I'm studying, that ain't helping me at all. That's just helping y'all. You don't want a pastor that all he does is read for you. Amen. I'll be empty. I want to come full. And I am so ready and expected. I'm just crazy enough to believe God for whatever. And I just know that He's going to do some crazy, amazing things. And the pinnacle is going to be our worship service. But He's going to open up the heavens before then. And God's going to do something spectacular for you. Isaiah, I've only got one scripture because I want you to either listen to me or I want you to look at it in your own word on your phone or in your Bible if you want to. However, or just listen because I got a lot of scripture today because y'all know how I am. When I'm trying to prove a point, I'm going to give you the Bible rather than my opinion on stuff, right? Because I want you to totally understand where it comes from. Isaiah 64, 1 and 3. You see, I got my hoodie on today. I got this off of our website, just so you know. If you go on our Facebook page, it's tagged up at the top. There's all different colors. There's all kinds of different things. We want you to go get one. We've had it for a year. We haven't had a whole lot of people gravitate towards that. So please try to go and I want marketing. I want people to go out and put it out into the community. Last week, I wore my dress shirt and my coat. And so the older generation really loved that. So I thought today I'd reach out to the young adults and wear my hoodie. I told people at the first year I was here, I said, if you're more concerned about what I'm wearing and what I'm saying, this probably ain't the church for you. Because God says, I look at the heart. Men's going to judge you on the outside. But don't matter what I'm wearing up here, what you're wearing out there. It really matters what is in my heart and what I say and my actions. So I love to switch it up and do different things different times. But today is hoodie day. So Isaiah 64, 1 through 3. Listen to this. Praise God. This is powerful. Oh, that you would rend the heavens. In Hebrew, it says rip. Same thing as rip. As you would rip the heavens open, that you would come down. that mountains may shake in your presence, that nations may tremble in your presence. So it says when the heavens tear open and God comes down, it's just not for us. It shakes our community. It shakes everybody around us. And it's saying that he come down and that's a power and authoritative mission right there, ain't it? That you would rend the heavens. I love that word. That's just a pretty word to me. That you would rend the heavens, or you would rip open, that you would tear open the heavens. when heaven, you know, so then Isaiah 22 and 22. I love this. This scripture says, when he opens doors, no man will be able to close them. And when he closes doors, no man will be able to open them. So when we have an open heaven, can't nobody shut it. And when he shuts it, because open heaven, it's just not, yeah, you walk under open heaven for a while, but it's not like just your whole entire life. We just have this open heaven. Okay. Let's understand that this is a seasonal thing and God's doing it for us for this time. And there'll be times that he keeps opening and closing it based on us and what we do. But it's not just like you just live up under open heaven for the rest of your life. Okay. But it says, so when he opens it, no man can shut it. Last night, I forgot all about Rosh Hashanah back in October, I think it was, or whenever it was, you know, the beginning of the Hebrew calendar year, the head of the year is Rosh Hashanah. And so that this year for Hebrew, for Israel, is 5784. And I forgot all about this when God gave me this word. Do you know what 5784 stands for? Open doors. In Hebrew, in Israel, this is the year of open doors. And then I was like, God, you gave me this word, open heavens. I had forgotten all about that until last night. I was like, wait a second. 5784, because I got on my phone at the very top, I got, you know, the our American, and then also Shavuot, the Hebrew calendar. And so I saw that, and I was like, wait a second. I think I remember something about that for this year. So, man, that just flows right in with us. So, to help you understand, what is an open heaven? I'm going to modernize it for you. Because this is so prevalent today in sci-fi and all different kind of things. An open heaven is like a spiritual portal. Okay? It also can be defined as a gate, a window, or a door. Okay? To heaven. Okay? So everything that God does, he does under his open heaven. And when the heavens are open, you know, that's when we work by faith. The heavens are open and we work by faith, and God does these things. He brings the invisible to visible through an open heaven. He brings the spiritual dimension to a natural dimension. He brings divinity to humanity. He brings the supernatural to the natural. He brings that down to us. God is the only one who has the power to open the windows of heaven, except for one instance in the Bible that we open it, and I'll tell you about that later. But once it's open, it's up to us to maintain it being open. There's things that we do to keep the door, the window to heaven open. Because if not, if he's like, you're not going to access this direct canal straight to heaven, the windows are open, I can pour out many blessings. If you're not going to access this, I'm going to close it up. Okay? So Genesis 26, 16 and 17. It says, then Jacob awoke from his sleep. He had a dream. Surely the Lord is in this place, he said, and I did not know it. And he was afraid and said, listen to this. Now, of course, we learned that afraid, that did not mean he was trembling and shaking and scared, right? We learned that afraid meant in awe of, in respect of, in adoration of. So because it says, and as he was afraid or in awe of God and said, how awesome is this place? You wouldn't say, I'm scared how awesome this place is, right? You would say how terrifying this place is. So he said, how awesome is this place? There is none, this is none other than the house of God. And this is the gate of heaven. See, he had this dream, and he was at Bethel, which means the house of God. And there was a stairway up to heaven. And it says that there was angels going up and down from that heaven, right? And so, and anytime it talks about that, that's talking about messengers. Angels are messengers. So the angels were going up from heaven, straight from the portal, back up, bringing messages to us and bringing gifts to us and stuff like that. So Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 2 says, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep the commandments that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above the nations of the world. You will experience all the blessings if you obey the Lord our God. So God is saying, if you obey me and all the commandments, which for us today is the Ten Commandments, okay, right? But it's not the Ten Commandments. It was the two commandments and then one commandment. In other words, love the Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And then right before he left, he's like, love your neighbor as yourself. In other words, if you love your neighbor as yourself, you're obeying me. You love me enough to do what I've told you to do. And also you're going to keep all the other commandments, because all the other commandments have to do with loving God and loving your neighbor. You know, if you love your neighbor, you're not going to have an affair. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to steal from them. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to cuss at them, right? Right. So the thing is all focused around that. In Deuteronomy, God is saying, I got all this stuff for you. And if you obey this, I'm going to tell you what all the blessings are. You need to go to Deuteronomy 28 and read that, because it tells you about all the blessings and then all the cursings for not obeying God. It's a really interesting chapter. And I told y'all the other day that at the end here, somewhere towards the end, we're going to start reading a little bit of Deuteronomy. I believe in at the end, we're going to read, yeah, at the very end, we start reading Deuteronomy, from 1 to 28 or 29. So you'll get to read that. And I said that because I told y'all that Jesus quoted Deuteronomy more than any other book in the Bible. And to give you an example of that, you know when Jesus was sitting with Satan and Satan was tempting Jesus? You know, and he said, hey, why don't you just throw yourself off here? Why don't you just make bread? All those three scriptures that Jesus quoted to Satan were in Deuteronomy. It's a powerful book, and he quotes it. And Jesus is in the Old Testament, and Jesus is in the New Testament. He's like, well, the Old Testament is the Old Testament. But here it is. But if you read it, Jesus is all in the Old Testament. Abraham sacrificed Isaac. That was all about the sacrifice, official lamb, that God will provide a lamb. We don't have to die. God provided the Lamb of God, right? All through the Old Testament, it's all talking about Jesus. Jesus was not born, but it's all talking about Jesus. It's all type and shadow of showing you about that. It's powerful. So what does it say? Let's go. That's 28, 1 and 2. So let's go down to 12 and 13. What is something that happens if you obey God's commandments and you do what he says? Deuteronomy 28, 12 and 13. Listen, the Lord will open to you his good treasure, comma, the heavens, comma. He will open, if you obey God and keep his commandments, he says, I'll open the heavens to you, my good treasure, which is all of heaven. He says, to give the rain on your land in its season and to bless all your work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, and you shall not have to borrow. And the Lord will make you the head. You've heard me say this part here before. I've quoted this many times. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. You shall heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and you be careful to observe them. Praise God. So he's saying, man, you obey my commandments, and you really seek me, you know, and just go after me with all that you've got. Now, let me stop right here. I want y'all to know, God is not asking you to walk this every day where you're walking around and just, oh, hallelujah, all day long. You're just kind of fruity, you know, fruit, nuts, and flakes, right? You're not crazy, okay? You're mentally connected with God, and you're walking. It does not mean that you don't go to the park and swing, okay? It's not that you got to walk a holy line, but it's just saying that your whole mindset has changed. And you're walking in a supernatural place, not in a natural place as much. And most of the time, you're even though you're doing something natural, you're still thinking about the supernatural. You're still obeying God. You're still walking in that. So how do we walk under an open heaven? I mean, what? No. How do you know that you're walking under an open heaven? Well, you're going to start having encounters with God that you've never had before. And maybe you've never seen before. You're going to feel God's presence tangibly. You know how in our last worship night, and maybe even this morning, you feel, it's not that you get goosebumps. I'm not talking about Holy Ghost goosebumps. I'm talking about you feel like that you feel God so close to you, and he's on you so much and so powerful, you almost feel like you can just grab him. You ever felt that before? It's just so close, you just like, I just want to touch you. I feel like you're here. I just know you're here. I just want to touch you. And it's not just goosebumps. It's almost a tangible, it's like you're engulfed in honey. And you're just like, I can't touch this, but I just feel like he has just surrounded me with his love and his compassion. It takes you from walking in the natural into the supernatural. When you're walking in the natural, you don't believe God for things. But when you're walking in the supernatural, you know that all things are possible with God. Things happen effortlessly. When you're walking under the power of God, and you're walking under open heaven, you begin to ask God for things, and you begin to pray for things, and you begin to try to do things, and it just happens. God just does. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, that was a whole lot easier than I thought it was going to be, because you're walking under open heaven. You'll receive revelation. When you read the Word, God's going to speak to you. God's going to say, hey, read that again. And you read it again, and God's going to give you a revelation. Now, God might give you a different revelation than he gives me. That's not changing Scripture. He's saying for you, this is what the Scripture means for you today. See, God's Word is living. And it does not change the meaning of the Scripture. But maybe God wants you to get you something different out of the Scripture than he gives me on that day. So he'll give you revelation, finances, open heaven with finances, miracles, signs, wonders, breakthrough, the voice of God speaking like in a powerful, thunderous voice to us. And it may not necessarily out loud, but we all hear it. And when you work under peace, rest, and abundance. And you flow in a whole different vein than you've ever flown before. Yes. When you are under an open heaven, how much blessings come out? It's just open, just pour. Well, let's go back to open heaven in Genesis chapter 7 and 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, February, the 17th day, February 17th, my son's birthday, of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of the heavens were opened. That was when the flood happened, right? And so the ground broke open and the floods came up really from the bottom because there hadn't been rain yet, right? And so the floods came up this way and it came from heaven and there was so much water that came, it covered the highest mountain. So put that into correlation with the blessings of God. Blessings of God that'll cover every mountain in your life. John 15 and 7 in the Passion Translation. You know, in King James it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you'll ask what you will. In the Passion Translation it says, but if you live in life union with me and my words live powerfully in you, then you can ask what you will and it shall be done. Under an open heaven, you can ask God for stuff and it happens. Well, I'm going to ask for me a Benz. I'm going to ask me for a new wardrobe. And girl, it's just going to happen. No. When you're under an open heaven, you're walking in the supernatural, not the natural. You won't ask for natural stuff. You'll ask for things that are the heart of God. And all that God gives you the desires of his heart. So he'll give you the desires and you'll start asking for these desires that you have. And they'll just begin to happen because you're not asking out of your own flesh. You're asking out of what God wants for your life. And it's just going to happen like clockwork. It's just going to happen. In that moment, you'll see that you're not asking selfishly. You're asking for his will. You know, we have to walk under open heaven. You have to walk daily, all day long, being aware of him. You're still working. But every moment, you need to be aware that God, you're walking under open heaven. So you every situation, you're aware that God is there. Staying connected to God all day long. You've heard me talk about prayer with God, where in Scripture says in Thessalonians 5:17, I think I forget what it is. It says, you know, pray without ceasing. That's not saying that you got to walk around praying all day long. People say, oh, what you doing? Mumbling to yourself. I'm just praying all day long. No, it's not talking about that. It's talking about staying connected with God. And I often mention some of us older generation that we used to have the hold button on your phone. You know, you would call somebody and say, hold on, I got to talk with somebody else, I'll be right back, right? So you put it on hold, but now it's still got hold buttons, but back in the day it was like on the phone, it was a little button you mashed. Nowadays it's just on your phone here. But you put them on hold, so what you do, you get up in the morning, you talk to God, you put them on hold, and then you go about your day. But he's always just right there. You ain't got to reconnect, you ain't got to dial him up again. You ain't got to recall him and try to, hey God, hey, are you busy? No, you got him on hold. And you just go right back to him. So you're connected with him all day long. You keep worship a big part of your day. There's nothing wrong with some secular music, you know. A little bit of air supply every now and then is good for you. But the thing is that you listen to worship music, and the more you start listening to some worship music, then you're going to realize that, you know what, I kind of like this. This is changing the atmosphere in my life, and rather than what this is changing my atmosphere to, because I used to, back in the day, I used to like a lot of country, man, and it really, really changed my, it made me depressed. There's a tear in my beer. I got friends in low places. I'm like, dear Jesus, I was just depressed all the time. I love Garth Brooks, but dude, I'm like, come on, man, you know? You know, then the other option you have is listen to Carrie Underwood scraping somebody's car because you're mad at him. You just gonna rip his car and punch his tires out. So, but you start listening to this worship and you realize that it starts lifting you up, starts building you up. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's not that I don't listen to secular music. I love me some old school 80s rap, you know, but, you know, Dougie Fresh and, you know, and Soul Sonic Force. Come on now. But the thing is that you're gonna find yourself gravitating more towards worship, more towards praise. You're going to find yourself turning on 90.5 for a change, you know, and listening to that. You're going to do that, and you're going to say, you know what, man, this is really making my spirit a whole lot better, you know. This morning, I was getting around and worshiping, and Mike sent me a song the other day, and I just put it on this morning and put it in on my phone while I was getting dressed, and, man, it was just pumping me up, and I was just like, man, I'm ready to go. It was just a song about open heaven. Now, 2 Chronicles 5, 12 through 14. Talking about worship. And the Levites were musicians, Asaph, Hermon, Jethulun, and all the sons and brothers were dressed in fine linen robes and stood at the east side of the altar playing cymbals, lyres, and harps. They were joined by 120 priests who were playing trumpets. I would love to have seen this. It says, the trumpeters and singers performed together in unison to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Accompanied by trumpets, cymbals, and other instruments, they raise their voices and praise the Lord with these words: He is good. His faithful love endures forever. At that moment, listen to this. At that moment, they were praising and worshiping God. At that moment, what happened? A thick cloud filled the temple of the Lord. The priests could not continue the service because of the cloud. For the glorious presence of the Lord filled the temple of God. That cloud wasn't the cloud like stopped them. It wasn't like, you know, the black fog on Lost is the smoke monster. It was a cloud. It was a presence of God. They saw a cloud, but it was a presence of God. And matter of fact, the presence of God came so much that they couldn't even continue on. They just began to worship and weep and cry and fall on their face before God. Now, this next scripture, really, it's about open heaven, but it's kind of off to the side for my message. But I want to read it just because it's exciting. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and the righteous, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. That's talking about the final open heaven, that God's going to open up, and Jesus is going to come back on a white horse. Amen. Praise God for that scripture. I'm excited. I just want to put that in there so you can know the final open heaven, what's about to happen. An open heaven comes, but an open heaven comes when God opens it and we are committed, dedicated, we make sacrifices, and we have full expectations of His inhabitation. Okay, God can open the heaven, but if you don't expect Him to move, if you don't come to church and you don't live your life expecting God to do something spectacular and miraculous and supernatural, then He's like, well, if you're good, I'm good. Because I act based on your demand of me. He's a gentleman. He's not going to hurt you. He's not going to interrupt Himself. If He's doing this and you over here doing this, He's like, well, then you're doing something different. That's like when we're in a service and it's real quiet and we worship. And you know, I've been in these services before. When we're real quiet, we worship. And somebody wants to start screaming and shouting in the corner. I'm like, that's not God. Well, how do you know that? Don't judge them. No, God's not going to interrupt Himself. If He's over here quiet and doing a worship, and then somebody's over here screaming and yelling, distracting, well, then that's not God. Because God's not, He's going to flow in a vein. He flows in a vein. Okay? Now, if everybody's shouting, then that's different. But God's not, if God's moving up here in a way and somebody starts doing something crazy, God's like, I'm moving up. He's a leader over here. Then why are they doing that? That's not right. God moves with organized. He doesn't cause chaos. Everything is designed and ordered, and it's all done and decently and in order, Scripture says, right? An open heaven comes when we are dedicated to God and we're willing to make these sacrifices. Well, what happens under an open heaven? Well, Holy Spirit shows up and God speaks. Matthew 3:16-17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, Spirit of God, which is Holy Spirit, descending like a dove and alighting on him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's one of the only places in the Bible that all three, the Trinity, shows up at the same time. Jesus was in the water, the voice of God coming down, and the Holy Spirit lighting on him, filling him with the Holy Spirit. All three in that same moment. So whenever you have an open heaven happened immediately. Behold, the heavens were open. And what happened? God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, all of them showed up. Everybody's here. Okay, we're here now to do whatever we got to do. Number two, you begin to have clarity and direction of what God wants to show you. Acts chapter 10 and 11. It says, he saw the sky open and something like a large sheet was let down from the four corners. You need to go read that. It's talking about Peter. He was thinking about the Gentiles and he was saying, you know, Jesus said, you know, you can this is clean food. And Peter was like, but this is unclean food. We were told by the prophet not to eat this and that and that and the other. And Jesus said, don't call unclean what I call clean. He was talking about food, but behind all that rigmarole, he was talking about the Gentiles. He was saying the Jews deserve Christ, the Gentiles do not. And Jesus is like, no. I've called the Gentiles to be grafted in, and it's not about that. You got to go preach the gospel to the Gentiles too. They're my children too, as well as the Jews. And so what happened? Peter left, and he went and started preaching to the Gentiles. He went to Cornelius' house. Cornelius' house got saved, and all the Gentiles there. And then he went and preached, and the Gentiles got saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. All because of the open heaven. Number three, Holy Spirit, what else happens when you open heavens? Holy Spirit comes, visions come, the word of the Lord comes, so you will know what the God is about to do and what you should do. So Holy Spirit, visions, and the word of the Lord. So it says in Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 2, now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, and the fifth day of the month, I was among the captives by the river Chebar. And the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. On the fifth day of the month, which was the year of the king. So he saw visions of God. And then verse 3, if you go and read verse 3, it says, the word of the Lord came. So when that happens, Holy Spirit comes, visions come, God begins to give you visions of things. God begins to give you a word of the Lord comes to you or comes from the pulpit, what have you. All that happens because of an open heaven. Number four, you also have angelic support. John chapter 1, verse 51, it says, and he said to him, most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. See, Jesus is telling Nathanael that the angels will bring messages to us and bring messages to him. He is the messenger, but he's going to be gone. And so the angels are going to, in the open heaven, angels come up and down and bring messages to us from heaven and offer us help. Number five, provision. Psalm 78:23-25 and 27. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the windows of doors of heaven. And they had rained down manna, this is on the children of Israel, and rained down manna for them to eat. Not just a couple pieces, it said it rained down manna, like tons of manna. It gets even better. And given them the bread of heaven. Man ate angels' food. They ate angels' food. That's the first angels' food cake ever right there made. Came straight from heaven. That's what it says. They ate angels' food. New King James Version. They ate angels' food. Angels' food cake. That's what it's right there. Okay. It says, and he sent them food to the full. He rained down so much that they were all full. Listen, he also, this is so exciting, he also rained meat on them like dust, feathered fowl like the sand of the seas. So man, he's just got, it's like, what's that, cloudy like a meatball or whatever that movie was? It's just falling down. It wasn't meatballs, it was fowl, feathered fowl, and some kind of meat, and angel food cake for dessert. See, God will blow provisions in your life under this open heaven. You've been asking for provision. When that heaven opens, man, God will just rain down provisions on you. Matthew 14:19. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves of bread and the 2 fish. Listen, and looking up to the heavens, he blessed it and broke it and gave the loaves to the disciples. And they and the disciples gave to the multitudes. He looked up for the windows of heaven to open. And what he had that was not enough all of a sudden became enough. When the windows of heaven opens, whatever you lack in, God's like, I'll make it fit. I'll work that. Whatever you lack, it will be complete. Hallelujah. He didn't look around. He didn't look within. He didn't say, I'm Jesus. He said, God, I need you to open the heavens and make, and I offer it to you, and make what is not enough, make it enough. Amen? Because Philippians 4:19 says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory from heaven. Amen? And then number 6, healing takes place under an open heaven. Mark 7:34-35. Then, looking up to heaven, again, okay, here it is. He's like, okay, God, this is not something that I can do on my own right now. I need the heavens to open. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha. I studied that. I looked on Google and learned how to pronounce it, and I still can't do it. It's Ephphatha. Phaphatha. That's it. Phaphatha. Phaphatha. Praise Jesus. Okay, which means be opened. Okay, be open. So he sighed, he looked to heaven, open to heaven, I need healing to take place, Lord, right now, God, now, right now. It says, and immediately his ears were open when he said, Ephphatha. And he had a speech impediment. It says, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. That's just not a healing. That's a miracle, right? So when the heaven opens, God can bring provisions because he looked up. He needed healing. What did he do? He looked up. Every time he needed something, he needed an open heaven, he looked up to God and was like, okay, tag team, you got to help me with this. And then another one right here is in Acts 7:55-56. It says, but Stephen, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. Now, I've mentioned it before. It's the only place in the Bible where Jesus is standing at the right hand of the Father. Everywhere else, you'll always hear, and Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father. Here, he was standing. And I'm fully convinced that because Stephen stood up for Jesus and God, God had Jesus stand up for Stephen. God will stand up for you when you stand up for him. Amen. And then it says, he saw him at the right hand. And he told them, and he told these guys that were getting ready to stone him. They all had rocks. And he said, look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he went on to say at the end, let me tell you what happens under open heaven. You forgive. Forgiveness just comes because they were stoning him to death. And at the end, right before he died, he said, Lord, do not lay this sin against them. That's powerful. You throw a rock and beat me in the head with it, I ain't going to ask God to forgive you. I'm like, Lord, slay them dead. I want to meet them. Take them out, Jesus. They're throwing these big rocks at me and I ain't got nothing up here. You know what I'm saying? That's what our flesh would say, right? But in the spirit, under an open heaven, you're like, God, they just like Jesus said, they don't know no better. They don't. You know, Jesus said the same thing, you know. He says, Lord, forgive them for they know not what they do. This is an Easter message, but I love that because you know why he was able to do that? Because blood was pouring across Jesus' eyes. And he saw you through the blood. And he said, forgive them. He saw them through the blood. The blood covers them, covers his eyes. And the blood was applied to them at his face. And he was able to say, God, forgive them, because he saw the blood applied to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, if you can come on up, I'm going to try to slow down here. Praise Jesus. What can we do to open the windows of heaven? There's one place in the Bible. Everywhere it says God opened the windows of heaven. There's one place in the Bible. Nobody wants to talk about it because nobody likes this, but they think that a church is a scam and trying to scam people. But Scripture says that if we are faithful and given, His good treasure is in heaven, right? His good treasure is in heaven, but He has treasure here on earth. Matter of fact, it says the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. I'm waiting for the wicked man to give me $1 million. Right? Malachi 3:10 says, bring all your tithes into the storehouse. The storehouse is where you're fed at. Where are you spiritually fed at? What are you doing? Where do you come to church on Sundays? That's the storehouse. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, provision to be able to pay for all the things, says the Lord of hosts. Here it is. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out so much for a blessing that you do not have room enough to receive it. Wow. People don't want to be, like I said, the church is a scam. They're just trying to get my money. No, it's not. That's not even it. It's a blessing for you. It says if you give, pay your tithes and offerings, it says that, hey, He will open the windows of heaven. It's the only place in the Bible that we get to open the windows of heaven. By us giving and sacrificing. And it says, and then I pour out so much you won't even be able to contain it. And I've got tons of people in this room right now that will stand up on the stage and say, I pay my tithes and that's why I am able to make it. Our offerings, a lot of times our offerings determine how good a blessing that is. What? Okay, Matthew 13:23. But he who receives seed, okay, finance, you always sow in good soil, right? You sow your finances in good soil. He who receives seed on good ground is he who hears the word and understands it. Who indeed bears fruit and produces. So you sow good seed and good ground. You're obedient. You sow seed. And what does it say happens when you do that? It says God gave back producing some 100-fold, some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. I want a 100-fold blessing. I want to be obedient. We see all through Scriptures the sacrifices. And every time there was a sacrifice, the window of heaven opened. You know, there's all these sacrifices in heaven, and the sacrifice can be your time, your talent, your treasures. You know, if it's not a sacrifice for you, it's not a sacrifice to God. Things just don't happen. We have to do our part. We have to have faith. We have to walk in expectancy. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. We have to read. We have to pray. We have to do a 30 for 30. If you're late on this, just start today. Or you know what? Better than that, start on today's date, and then at the end, go back and do the first 7 days. It's not too late. You need to do this. This is important. This is going to get you reading the Word. It's going to get you. How many people have read and it's just like, wow, this is amazing. This is exciting. Anybody, you're reading, it's just exciting to you and it's different and you're like, man, you know. And then I preach about stuff and you're like, I read that. I remember reading that. Number two, we have to change our thinking if the heaven's going to open. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there's any virtue, and if there be anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. We got to have our mind right. If you're thinking carnally, you're not gonna enjoy the benefits of an open heaven. God's like, get your flesh out of the way, crucify your flesh, start thinking on the good things of the Lord, and I'll bless you. And you allow the Holy Spirit to empower and anoint us. Acts 10:38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good things and healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. What happened? Jesus got filled with the Holy Spirit, God anointed him and with power, and he went around doing good things. So when you're under this open heaven, we go out and start doing good things. God anoints us to pray. All the good things are not going to happen in here. A lot of it is, but you're going to go out to your work and you're going to pray for people. You're going to say, hey, I'm praying for you. And they're going to be like, I just got healed and I don't know why. You're going to pray for people to get saved. You're going to pray for people's provision. You're going to meet people on the street. You're going to meet people in the mall. Quit being ashamed to pray in the middle of a mall or in the street or in anywhere. Take a minute. The greatest thing you could do is when someone says, hey, can you pray for me? Ask God, is it now, God? And write it. So you know what? Let's pray right now. If you have a problem of forgetting and not knowing who to pray for, there's two things. One you can do. At nighttime, say, God, I pray that you help me remember everybody that asked me to pray for today. Bless all of them.
Right.
Or the other thing you could do is pray right now. Say, God, you know what? You need prayer? Let me pray. We have a wonderful prayer team. Sherry Odell is killing it. Her and the prayer team, man, they pray all the time for you guys. They're all the time praying. They are such a tight group, and they text one another when we have a prayer request, and man, they are on it. They are praying for you. And then number three, we have to be sensitive to the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We have to obey God and follow His leading and crucify our flesh. How do we follow the Holy Spirit? Well, it talked about the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and lighted on him. Lighted on him, however you lighted on him. But that dove, if you had a dove on your shoulder, let's pretend like everybody in here has a dove on your shoulder, and you don't want that dove to leave you. You got to be careful in how you move. You got to be careful in how quick you do something that you shouldn't do. You don't want to offend. You don't want to quench this dove, and you want to be careful to keep that dove there, so you want to make sure and be careful and everything that you do, be very calculated and prayerful about your decisions. Because Paul said in Ephesians, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. In Thessalonians, he says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Grieving has to do with purity. Quenching has to do with power. So we need to walk around in purity and in power. That's what we have to do. Because without power, without purity, our character, then you can't have power. Walking under an open heaven is a 24-hour process. People think that once they get their breakthrough, they get their miracle, that the heavens will just remain, okay, I got mine, it's going to remain open. That's not how it works. But continuous giving will, and loving and sacrificing and sharing and worshiping will continue to keep that window of the portal open. And we need to step in it and sow into it. The last thing I got, and then we'll be done. Five little quick little words, six words, eight words, 10 words. We need not only to receive an open heaven, but from that being open, but there's some things that we need to open. Pastor, what are you talking about? If the heavens are open, what do we need to open? Well, we need to open our eyes and see God for who He really is. We need to open our ears and hear the word of the Lord. We need to open our hearts and be more compassionate and forgiving. We need to open our mouths and speak out the truth of God. And we need to open up our hands and not be so greedy and giving to others and loving others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Has this excited you a little bit and helped you understand a little bit more what's about to happen? So now you can go home and read the Bible even more, and you'll see this. If you want, and hopefully you wrote those scriptures down. If not, I can put them on something for you. Let me know. But I want you to understand that, because God's getting ready to do some miraculous things. And like I said last week, I meant no disrespect when I said this. When I said, yeah, but we're a smaller church, and how is God going to use us? I was like, think about them 12 idiots Jesus had, those disciples. And I didn't mean that disrespectfully. I'm just saying that they were broken. They were tax collectors. They were bad people. And God used those 12. You know? So I didn't mean no disrespect when I said that to them. I always go home and think about what I say, and did I say something stupid or somebody, you know, whatever. And I was like, you could have at least explained that if you called the disciples idiots, you know. So the thing is I want you to understand that God, you know, David's mighty men, most of David's mighty men were all criminals that came to Christ. So I'm just saying, it's not about how God chose us. Why He chose us to give us this word, I don't know. Anybody else who comes in this house or anybody who's connected to you can stand under that same open heaven. It's just not for us. It's not us four no more. We need to take this and this anointing and this power and take it out into that world and give it to everybody else and allow them to experience it. Allow them to be a part of it. It's not just for us. This is for whosoever will. But we get to be the ones. There's probably lots of people who maybe God has spoke to that this year. He's definitely spoken to Israel, right? So the thing is for us, man, we get to experience it, and we get to give it. And we get to love and say, you know what, God, your will be done. The Heavenly Father, I just love you right now, and I thank you. That's such a massive, powerful, incredible word. Open heaven. But God, you didn't put it in your word. You didn't put it in the Bible just so it could be a big word that people wondered what really happened. And that was in the Bible days. It's not for today. It's not really for us. It's only for big churches. It's not for small churches. God, you have no respect for persons. And I know that I know that I know that you have given me this word for our people. And we're going to be obedient. And we're going to walk in it. And we're going to walk in it together. Everybody is going to walk in it. And we thank you for that. And we give you praise and glory for it. In the mighty name of Jesus. Is anybody here with your head bows? Anybody here that's not a Christian would say, Pastor Doug, I want to receive Christ and ask God to come in my heart, forgive me for my sins. I want to be a Christian. I want to understand this open heaven, but I know right now I'm under an open hell. I have hell in front of me. So I want to change that. And I want to receive Christ and ask Him to come in my heart and forgive me for my sins. And I want to walk in this blessing. Anybody here at all or online, you want to raise your hand or message us and say, I want to receive Christ today. Anybody at all? Amen. Hallelujah.